This is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
For all of us, we're at a different stage. And we think what I have to give, whether it's money or myself, it's not much, it doesn't matter, it's insignificant. No, it's not. You know why? Because it's God dealing with your heart. And you can't learn those lessons until you do what He wants you to do. As comfortable as you try to make it for yourself, at least you do it. And we grow. But until then, we're just kind of arm wrestling with the Lord, and He won't force you to do certain things.
You know, if we're not careful, we can easily compare our journey and our walk with Christ to other people and their journey. We can think that what we have won't make a difference, or that it's too small to please God. In today's message, Pastor Troy will be talking about the different stages of life and where we are on the journey. Wherever we find ourselves, we know that God is always dealing with our heart. Wherever He asks us to give, serve, or step out in obedience, it's all a matter of the heart. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of John chapter 12 as he continues his message, Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet.
See, God seeks hearts that are willing to believe, and He will help them any way that He can. But it's a matter of that heart and the willingness of that heart. He does not seek to defy your own heart or will. Your willingness to believe is a gift. Your freedom of choice is a gift, just like the tree placed in the middle of the garden. Because see, God cannot be loved. He's issued a command, love. Love the Lord your God. That's the greatest commandment. You can never obey that command unless you have the choice to do it. It's not love if God tricked you into it. It's not love if you were just predisposition to love God. I'm just predispositioned, and they're not. There is some choice. What are you going to choose? See, some value truth. Yeah, I could get by with stuff, doing things the wrong way and everything, but I value truth. And so Jesus brought the truth, which attracts certain hearts, certain individuals. You've been lying, but you know, man, I'm tired of the weight of it. I just want to live in the open. I just want to live, just live and breathe. And the Lord says, I will cleanse you and restore you. And He allows us to do that. But then there are others that go, no, I don't want to come out. No, I want to do things. I want to get things my way. I don't care what He wants or what they want. I want what I want. And that is a stubborn and resistant and a self-seeking heart that will have a very difficult time giving themselves up. So, salvation is by grace through faith. Faith is the act. It's a belief that turns into an act. James is the one who wrote, you say you believe, great. Even Satan believes, the demon believes. Does that faith save you? No. How are you living? Do you live like you believe in Him? Do you live like you? And it doesn't mean perfectly either. Here's all it means, is each time that you do stumble, you get back up, and instead of listening to the world going, well, it's not worth it. Well, it's not my cup of tea. Well, I tried religion. You get back up and you go, Lord, forgive me. And you start to walk forward. And as you begin to walk again with Him and walk forward, this is the fight that we have. You begin to walk forward and everything's telling you, quit. You're no good. You shouldn't do it. You're a failure. God doesn't need you. God doesn't want you. We get up and we trust His word. And we begin to walk. We're going the right direction. And we're trying to say, Lord, oh, forgive me. I did this. And He goes, hey, all I see is you'll follow me. Let's keep that direction up. Let's go. That's all He sees. That's all He cares about. See, as Christians, we're not all in the same place, but we are all walking the same direction. We stumble at different times and we're there and the one person's still standing, they help the other up and we continue to walk. We don't, someone stumbles, we don't pull out the whip. Now do this and do that. We're there to pick up and say, let's walk the right direction. Let's continue to walk. And we end up growing and changing and we don't even realize it. So God is seeking after those hearts that'll be loyal to Him. And He wants to show Himself faithful, powerful on behalf of those lives. It's very dangerous to hear God's word, to know that He is piercing your heart, talking to you, and then to refuse to listen or receive it. It is not a game. It's dangerous. This is eternity we're talking about. Because see, your unwillingness creates a hardening effect in your heart. It's like a callus. The more something rubs up against it, it's not allowed to pierce. It just calluses. It gets harder and harder. So you can listen more and more often with no effect. It doesn't impact, doesn't affect at all. And it's very, very dangerous. Now, on the other side of the coin, if you decide to trust Him by faith, if you open up by faith and you trust Him and you take that step, that little step, you trust Him, He will also strengthen that decision. I have heard stories of God doing amazing things because people took a step and trusted God. I mean, that's what it's about. You step, the water's still there. It's still flood stage. You step and the Lord parts the waters. Those kind of things happen in people's lives. They're trying to save up. They want to get their finances in order. They go, I don't have anything. And man, I know God's put it on my heart to give, but I have nothing to give. They start to commit $1 a month, anything that's a habit. And then all of a sudden, where'd this money come from? Man, I'm able to roll over money. I'm just doing what God wants me to do. I've seen that. I've experienced it myself. I've told you guys, the very first time I gave, God spoke to my heart, I was in the military, so I had a job that was consistent. And it says, why don't you give something? Now for me, I didn't want to give something. That's mine. And so, Lord, I love you. I do this. I'll bring some donuts, because donuts I can also eat. Tacos, I can get something out of that. But if I just drop some cash or something, I don't get anything out of that. And I don't know what they're going to do with my money. So I remember the first time, and I saw our offering boxes are hidden. We should put one right here. No, our offering boxes are hidden, but it was a big church, throughout the sanctuary and stuff. And I was right next to one. You're Lord speaking to your heart. You're looking at the box. It's talking to me. I don't hear it. So I ended up, I gave to the Lord that day. I gave $2 cash. Hey, it was zero before that. I gave the $2 and I never gave again that year. But I got a receipt at the end of the year for my $2. And let me just tell you something. I looked at it and I was like, my $2 mattered. Now, it's funny, but it's also serious. Because for all of us, we're at a different stage. And we think what I have to give, whether it's money or myself, it's not much, it doesn't matter, it's insignificant. No, it's not. You know why? Because it's God dealing with your heart. And you can't learn those lessons until you do what He wants you to do. As comfortable as you try to make it for yourself, at least you do it. And we grow. But until then, we're just kind of arm wrestling with the Lord. And He won't force you to do certain things. Now, at some point, He'll bring you to your knees because it's been long enough. But for a long time, He'll let you Choose. So whenever we do things for the Lord, whenever we trust Him, and I don't mean just, I just want to do this for the Lord, He didn't say anything, but I mean when He calls and He starts to stir your heart, when you obey, He does some amazing things in your life. It's worth it. It's always worth it when you trust Him. And this is why Isaiah also said, chapter 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Because He speaks softly, He'll speak louder, but there comes a time if you continue to callous yourself toward Him, He gets silent. And that's when it gets very scary. You don't want that. Unbelief is not a game, it's dangerous. Verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, there's a scripture that speaks to this group, because this group, it says they believed in Him, but they didn't confess because they were afraid. I submit to you, these guys, as viewed through the lens of God's word, were not saved. And here's a text that Paul wrote to the Romans, I believe, to talk to this kind of scenario. And he wrote, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible, and you can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later, or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way, you'll never miss a teaching, and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the Solid
Rock. So now let's talk about the fact that faith can be dangerous also. We often only think of living out our faith as being dangerous in certain countries, certain places, and thank God we're not there. But when we truly live out our faith, if you truly let God do in you, through you, with you, what He wanted to do, well, it'd be dangerous everywhere. Because we would risk everything. And it's this risk factor that can often lead us to the compromises that we make. Remember in chapter 9 when the blind man was healed and they sought his parents and they tried to say, well, what do you make of this? They're trying to get to the fact that, hey, Jesus is a sinner. He did this on the Sabbath. He's a no good. That's what they're looking for. But He did this. And the parents were like, well, we don't know. Ask our son. He knows. We want to remain silent on the issue. Because they were afraid. They couldn't make a confession because they were afraid of the consequences of such an admission. And the consequences were simply being kicked out of the synagogue. They would miss some friends. They wouldn't be able to participate in certain ceremonies. They wouldn't be seen as important by others. So they didn't stand by faith because they were stopped by fear. See, that's the danger that we all face when we truly choose to walk by faith, is that we'll be excluded or shunned or not invited to the family gathering, or kicked out of the family altogether. We'll lose friends. We'll lose these things. Maybe we'll end up all alone. Well, that's not true, because the scripture says He'll never leave us or forsake us. So you add that to the potential of being persecuted for your faith, mocked, beaten, and killed, which we haven't experienced in this country really yet, but who knows. See, as human beings, we all have a fundamental desire to be accepted and loved. And so there are even some individuals who can't help but operate by that. Was that that pleasing personality? I want to please people, so I work hard to please others. The idea is that we want to be loved, cared about, liked. I don't want people to not like me. And so I'll do whatever I need to do to not be unliked, you know, to be liked. And that's a fear. And it's a fear that stops us from knowing and growing in the Lord. This is one of the reasons that some get into trouble or always complain or exaggerate sickness, because it's a habit that they have developed because they have kind of learned or had an experience where, hey, this gets attention on me. So I feel cared about, loved, thought about. I'm in the center. And so some are driven and they get into trouble because that's when they're cared about. That's when they're thought about. Or they complain because this is when those who never listen to their opinions or give them a listen, even though it's annoying, at least they hear me. Or exaggerating sickness when others are tending to them. They're bad habits. They're wrong habits. But it's a cry very often for attention and care, because that's what we all crave in the flesh, because we're not satisfied completely in Christ. So we turn to those things. So faith then, living by faith, walking by faith, well, it's a risk, because we risk pushing away people. People won't like us. People won't turn to us. And we can be shunned even from our own family. And this is the internal conflict that often leads us to compromising. So for us in the United States, where persecution is limited, we think things like, well, I'm not going to take a real strong stand in the faith. I mean, I don't want to be overzealous because people might call me weird or make fun of me. And we're afraid to be all in for the Lord. The Lord's desire is not that you look weird, but in this world, which, by the way, is getting weird, you're going to look weird because they're weird. You're not weird. They're weird. And so when you're different than them, when you call right, right, and wrong, wrong, because it's obvious, they're going, well, you don't see all the perspectives. No, you see, look, you're messing things up with all your perspectives. Here's right. Here's wrong. It's that simple. God's word has answers. You know, my son is taking some government class. Pray that we get through that. They have all these laws, and they get so convoluted with all of the rules. I remember sitting in a jury duty one time, and they were talking about how if a cop accidentally stumbled upon the information and didn't have a search warrant, and yet use that to capture the guy, could you dismiss that because he got it the wrong way? Because the law says he cannot use that. It's inadmissible. And I said, so you're telling me that if we find out he is guilty, that we can't prove that he's guilty because we found out he was guilty the wrong way? And I didn't get picked. So, in fact, the others around me were like, yeah, I agree with that. That makes sense. But they weren't thinking. They're like, okay, yeah, the law says we have to throw it out. So let's, yeah, throw it out, man. We can't use that evidence. Are you crazy? We've lost our minds with all of our rules. It's very simple. Boys are boys. Girls are girls. They're born that way. We have propensities towards sin. Yes, it doesn't make it right. Some kids grow up, well, I just have a propensity to go up and hit people across the lips with my fist. I'm just born that way. It's who I am. Does that make it right? No. Somehow you got it. Somewhere in your life, growing up, somewhere you got it. You got a violent or an angry or whatever it is, temperament. That's the sin nature, but it doesn't make it right because it's been with you most of your life or all of it. It's not right. So where do we get right from? You poll 1,000 people, you have 1,000 different lists of right and wrong. Fortunately, God's the one who authors right and wrong, truth from error. Jesus came and he said, I came to bear witness to the truth. So you can know what it is. And it's not all that confusing. So for us to take these simple stands and not to fall prey to all of the arguments, we risk being not liked and shunned. Paul saw all of this coming, that people would believe but be too afraid of people to live. And so he wrote to the Galatians, which I believe is the first letter that he wrote, but it was certainly among the first letters that he wrote. So early on, Galatians 1:10, he wrote, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." What he's simply saying is this: if I live to please people, if I live worried about what people think, then I will not be able to live and please God. So, who am I going to live for? That's his question. The idea is what God thinks of me is more important than what others think of me. That includes parents, that includes children, that includes bosses, that includes extended family. It's what God thinks that matters most. What others think, if it affects the relationship because we're going to do things the way God wants us to, then may they be in God's hands. But it's for me and my house, even if it's a dwindling house, we're going to follow the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. So we see in verses 42 and 43 a group who are trying to believe undercover. It says that they believed, but they're in the closet, if you will, in the dark. And Jesus knows that this cannot work. Because if you remain in the dark, what did Jesus say about himself? I am the light. So there is absolutely no way to remain in the dark and hidden and follow Christ. And you cannot follow Christ and remain in the dark. You'll be noticed. You'll be different. Things will change. So there's no way to do both. And Jesus knows that. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." That's the place to place your faith. So both unbelief and belief have their dangers. Unbelief, because you can callous your heart, lose everything. Trying to hold on to everything and everyone. The scripture speaks about that. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That's what unbelief does. We keep turning to, holding on to people, and we can't follow the Lord because we don't have the kind of faith to come out of the closet. James talked about that too, saying, can that kind of faith save someone? But then belief is risky too, because then you could actually lose friends and you could lose people. You're too holy, too righteous. And it makes the temptation to compromise a daily battle every single day. Now look at verse 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, remember, these are his last words to the public. And he addresses this idea of believing. Here's what I'm talking about. He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in that last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say, what I should speak.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than other gospel books, John introduces his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles, because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the message to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the book of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in